Occasionally get asked what I do on things like Father's Day and Mother's Day as far as preaching goes. And I say, well, I look at the lectionary and see what it says about Father's Day and Mother's Day, and I preach on that. I looked fairly carefully and I didn't find anything on it. So it's not that I'm opposed to Father's Day or the first day of summer, for that matter, or any of the other things, but the decision was made in this congregation a long time ago to stay with the lectionary, and I think it's a good one. For all kinds of reasons, not least of which it keeps me off my hobby horses, of which I have far too many, and moves us through Scripture in a number of different directions that perhaps we might not have explored otherwise. And this Sunday we're going to be looking at our Old Testament lesson, and perhaps from a slightly different perspective than you may have looked at it before. Malcolm Gladwell, the author of Outliers and a few other things, has been making a bit of a splash with a book he wrote recently about David and Goliath, which is a little bit counterfactual, at least for some people, and certainly even for me, as we've always looked at the story of David and Goliath as a tremendously unfair contest. The whole term of David and Goliath has made its way into our culture as a trope of big and mean against small and feeble. And it's quite true that it was an unfair contest. It's just we actually have it backwards. It was unfair because of David's equipment. It was unfair also because of David's unfair advantage of knowing God. But even on a more physical end of things, it was one of those peculiarities that because we know so little about that time, we often get things backwards. I've talked about this before, my own interpretive problems. And when I grew up, this story of David and Goliath was always one to me of David going out there and hoping against hope that he wouldn't just get torn to pieces. And while there was certainly an amount of temerity going on, because Goliath was a trained warrior, he knew what he was doing out there, David was actually fairly bright, quite well understanding his own abilities. And that's where our sermon title comes from: Courage and Use Your Gifts. Goliath was in an odd situation, and I'm not quite sure why he allowed himself to get into this. It's possible that he may not have really understood what one could do with a sling. But if you wanted to describe this fight, probably the best way to describe it is that Goliath brought a knife to a gunfight. And the chances of Goliath succeeding were very, very small. A sling is a fearsome weapon. It's one that we don't know much about. We tend to think of a slingshot. It's also actually a fairly fearsome weapon if you know what you're doing. And we often misunderstand what's going on in this story. And so I'd like to correct that slightly. Not that it does damage to our interpretation of God's abilities to work through his people, but so that we know, have a better idea of what's going on here. When we look at the story, it begins with David going to the king and saying, oh, don't worry, things will work out. As a matter of fact, I will go and take care of things for you. Saul looks at David, who was a boy. We don't know what that means. Probably wasn't 7 or 8, but he's probably in his teens at the oldest, I would think. Saul looks at David and said, are you crazy? This is a warrior trained from his youth. You, well, you're you. What are you? David says, I'm a shepherd. Do you know what shepherds do, Saul? Apparently you don't. We protect sheep from bears and from lions. And when I've been protecting the sheep, whether I wanted to be a shepherd or not, I've been out there taking care of the sheep, and a lion has taken away one of my sheep, I've gone and taken it back. And if the lion doesn't like it, I've grabbed it by the hair and I've killed it. Even if there's a small amount, even if there's a large amount of hyperbole going on here, we're talking about somebody who's got a pretty good idea of how to handle themselves in a very significantly dangerous situation. We have no idea whether David wanted to be a shepherd. I'm guessing he probably didn't. He was the youngest. I'm sure the youngest ended up doing what youngests always do, which is what the olders tell them to do. And I suppose he could have been a bad shepherd, and he could have just done the bare minimum, but it appears that he took seriously his responsibilities as a shepherd, and through the course of time, developed some skills and some abilities that would be extremely useful for him later on. It doesn't specifically mention his use of a sling in here, but I'm fairly certain that he would have been aware of that from a boy also, and probably would have used his sling to take care of some of these bears and lions and any other kinds of things that were there to get in his way. And so David was willing to go up against Goliath, using everything that had been built into him, that he had learned, all of his experience, all of his talents, all of his gifts, to accomplish what needed to be done. And Saul almost derailed this by saying, well, if you're going to go against a warrior, you need a warrior's tools. So here you go. You can have my helmet. You can have my coat of armor. You can have my sword. And David thought, well, okay. And he put it on. Walked around a little bit, because if you're going to try a new tool, you're crazy to wait until the moment of actually needing it. You want to practice, you want to see if it fits and all that. And he realized it really didn't fit and just got in the way. So he gave it back. Can't go in these, he said to Saul. I'm not used to them. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand approached the Philistine. What David is doing here is he's taking advantage of everything that's gone into his upbringing and into his experience and taking it and applying that. He's not taking Saul's gifts because they're Saul's. They don't fit him. It doesn't work well. He's not going to the best swordsman in the army and saying, give me a quick lesson. He's not going to someone who throws spears and saying, show me how to throw a spear and I'll give that a try. No, he's going with what he knows works. He's going with what he's good at. He's going in the area of his giftedness. And he goes and he triumphs. When I was younger, I misunderstood this story so badly. As I've mentioned before, when we're little, we often get things a little amiss. I looked at this and I even looked at David taking smooth stones is just another example of how poorly equipped he was. Well, if you're going to throw something at somebody, you want it to go where, and you want it to go where you want it to go, a smooth one works a whole lot better. I don't know if you've ever looked at, say, a bullet, but they're not jagged. I'm fairly certain somebody told me that this was some strange sign of compassion on David's side for not getting a pokey rock, but getting a smooth one, which is not the case at all. What he wanted was the best missile possible. And when I was little, I figured that this rock would maybe be about the biggest, the end of my thumb. Yeah. No, these were big. They're about the size of a baseball. And a rock leaves a sling, certainly not at supersonic speeds. It's not a bullet, but it leaves it more than 100 miles an hour. Do you begin to see why I think that we have misunderstood who was at the disadvantage in this story? But the only reason why Goliath was at a disadvantage is because David knew who he was and knew what he could do and worked within that rather than working within other things, more conventional things. Convention had it that if you went face to face with a warrior, you went with warrior's tools. Well, David said, they're no good to me. They don't fit. But none of this would have worked if David wouldn't have had the courage to use his gifts. We don't see here, it's not clear in the text that David was afraid in any way, but I'd be shocked if he wasn't. At least concerned, at least worried somewhat. He's talking about going against an oversized Philistine who's been practicing killing people since he was a child. But he took courage in his gifts and then applied courage to go and use his gifts, just like we're called to. We're not called to go and beat up Philistines. We're not called to go into battle with giants, although some of the things we're called to do seem gigantic to us. We're called to exercise the gifts that we've been given. And each of us has been given gifts. Each of us, through the experience of our lives and the work that we put in to learn things, has become good at some things that we are called to do. But we still need to have the courage to do them. courage, it becomes less of the issue the more you use them. When I exercise my gifts here in a pulpit, I hardly ever am afraid before I go in anymore. But I was when I started. I was afraid I was going to say something stupid or something wrong or something that would mislead someone into a crazy view of God. And that would be my fault. And I was afraid of that. And if I would have let that fear triumph, if I would have said, well, that's just too dangerous for me, that giant is too large, I wouldn't be here today. But we take courage and do what we're called to do, even if it means doing things that we are a little afraid of. Whether that's singing in front of people if we have gifts of music, or talking to our neighbors about what's important to us, asking them how they're doing. Some of those things are kind of scary. But the things that God calls us to do, as God called David to go and deliver the people of Israel from this oversized Philistine, God has equipped us to do them. And it's up to us to screw up the courage that we have to exercise those gifts. Sometimes the courage needed is immense, and sometimes it's small, but we still need to do what we're called to do, even if we're not entirely sure that we're the best person for the job. But the thing is, if God's called us, we are the best person for the job. Sometimes we're the only person for the job. But we haven't been just left out on a limb. No matter what David might have thought of his experience as a shepherd, no matter what David might have thought about being required to go and look after sheep, it equipped him for that day. And more than that day, we see references to David's experience as a shepherd often in his time as a king. God took that time of menial labor almost and turned it into everything that David needed. And he's doing the same with us, and he has done the same with us. All of the things that you have gone through, everything you've learned, every experience you have is something that God can use to change this world. But you need courage. And then use your gifts. Because it's not the courage of the foolhardy. It's not the courage of somebody thinking that they can run through a wall. It's the courage that comes from knowing that you have been equipped, that you have learned what you need to learn, and now it's time to put it in practice. Because it's courage and use your gifts. It's not courage and start from scratch. God calls us to do what we can do with his assistance and then in the power of the Holy Spirit. God doesn't call us to do the impossible. That's God's job. Our job is to do what we have been called to do, paying attention to the fact that God has built things into our lives to make it possible for us to do them, and that when we courageously step forth, we might even slay a giant. Courage and use your gifts. That's the message for us today. To remember that we have the gifts and to have the courage to use them. Amen.